Amen. And I had a wonderful time with the Lord this morning. I want you to turn to Isaiah 53. And this has been on my heart. And I sitting there studying, just got to bawling this morning thinking about that. You got to singing that song. Got to thinking about the Lord Jesus. He couldn't sing that. And he couldn't say what David said, because he died alone. Isaiah chapter 53. You pray for us as we share what God has put on our heart. May it be a blessing, a help, and a encouragement to you. Verse 13, 14, and 15 is introduction. Sometimes chapter visions are not inspired, and that really goes 13, 14, and 15 introduce. And when you see that, behold my servant. And the wonderful thing about Isaiah is he's given you here. There's seven wonderful pictures of Isaiah. And I won't get into it. I'll never will get to the message. But I won't begin reading there in verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, you'll notice there are 47 pronouns, he, him, and his. This could not be Israel. That's what is taught by, but Israel didn't die for my sins. Israel, my friend, didn't bear my griefs and my sorrow. But he said in verse number 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should behold him or desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, I love that. I'll tell you what, first surely in the Bible, and the last surely in the Bible. Ever surely, you need to mark that. And the first one, that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Here, he's telling us, surely he had borne our griefs. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. And surely I come quickly. Surely he had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Notice that starts with all and ends with all. All we like sheep, that's sinners like us, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And if you get in on that first all, realize you're a sinner, you can come out on that last all. Amen. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? That's what they said. You're not even 50 years old. Who's going to declare your generation? Well, I'm looking around a lot of children. I'm looking around a lot that's declaring his generation. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul, listen to this, an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Now, that's a wonderful thing. God was finally satisfied. The law, none of that. Religion, none of that. But God is satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And thank God I'm one of them many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Father, thank you for your love and mercy. God, thank you for loving me. Sometimes I have to admit, I have not seen the depth of it till I got to really studying Isaiah 53, how much you love me. And Lord, what you went through that a sinner like me could be justified, saved, God could actually be placed into the body of Christ. Oh, I just thank you today. Bless these dear men of God. My heart's been blessed and challenged. Just renew old acquaintances and hear God's men preach. Be lifted up and encouraged and helped, edified. Go home and be strengthened to go and fight a good fight of faith. Lord, help every man of God here. Help every person here. God, help our churches. Bless Brother Richard and this dear people, we pray. Thank you for this conference, God. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look back at verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Two questions there. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And here's the message I want to preach this morning, Isaiah's unbelievable report. And I believe if he's writing this, he said, who in the world will believe that? Who in the world is going to believe? And Isaiah's pinning this down as the Holy Spirit was giving it to him. And he said, who's going to believe our report? And Isaiah 52, look at verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, and he shall be exalted and extolled and very high. And then you look at Isaiah 53 and verse 11, and again it talks about the servant there. And he shall see the travail of my soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant, and we see the servant. And this is not the Jews taught that this was Israel. But again, Israel didn't die for my sins. In Philippians 2, 7 and 8, the Bible said there, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, it might be good for you to go through and mark those 47 pronouns there that's in there that refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the message that Philip preached to the Ethiopian. And in Acts 8, 34 and 35, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and he preached unto him Jesus. You know, that's the best thing any preacher could ever do, is just stand up and preach Jesus. Just give him the glory and magnify him. The prophecy given opens with two questions. The first one is, who had believed our report? Now, that speaks of, first of all, his humiliation. And we see that. And then the second one is, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That speaks of his exaltation. And if you look at verse 10 of chapter 52, the Lord hath made bare his arm. Now, when a man rolls his sleeves up, makes bare his arm, he said, I'm the victor, I'm the conqueror. And I want to tell you here, God says, the Lord hath made bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. One day, friend, all this stuff's going on right now, you wait. You just hang around. Thank God the King Jesus gets on the throne. He's going to rule and reign. Now, here's a biography of the Lord Jesus written 700 years before he was born. And when you look at this, and by the way, Isaiah's going to tell us the story of Jesus. He's going to write on our heart every word. And he's going to tell us the story most precious and sweetest that ever has been heard. And the Isaiah's unbelievable report. Who would believe such a thing? Who would believe such a report? Jesus came, John 1, 11, to his own received him not. They didn't receive him. And I want you to just look at a couple of verses of scripture and look in John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, you'll find here, in verse number 37, Jesus brings this up. He said, now you didn't believe Isaiah's already preached about you. And look at John chapter 12 and verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah, here it is now, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who's believed our report? And you know what? Paul picks up on this. Look at Romans. We love Romans 10:17. We know, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But verse 16, listen what it says. Romans 10:16. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who's believed the report of God? Now, this is what I want to give you this morning. And I'll just try to go as fast as I can, because I know there are other preachers here and going to preach. But Isaiah, first of all, chapter 1 is the virgin birth. Chapter 2 is his virtuous life. And then chapter 3 is going to be his vicarious death. That's all right here. Who's going to believe this? I mean, Isaiah's pinning this down. And then we're going to find his victorious resurrection. And thank God his visible return. You say he's dead. Oh, no. Oh, he's not dead. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And he said, I've got the keys. The devil don't even have the keys to his own house, and his basement's on fire. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad we're on the winning side. Let's look at the first thing. And Isaiah writes this and pins this down. He's going to tell us about a tender plant there in verse 1 and 2. Here's the first. Chapter 1 is the virgin birth. Here's the biography. Chapter 1, the virgin birth. Who hath believed our report? Who is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root. A root out of dry ground. Well, if that ground's dry, that root just can't have. And he said, it's going to be a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Now, you know this, if you've studied anything about plants, you know there's tender, half-hardy, and hardy. Now, tender plant is, it just won't grow anywhere. A tender plant, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the kind, it's a different thing. But now a hardy plant, it can grow in the soil. It's, you know, it don't take much care, and you don't have to do too much to it, and don't take much attention and everything. It suits its nature and environment. And so it just goes right down the soil and flourishes. That is a hardy. But now a half hardy, it's similar to the hardy. If the climate's pretty well the same and the temperature's the same and the weather's similar, it can be planted and it'll flourish too. It'll come right up. But now a tender plant is different. And if you study this, it comes from quite a different place. It does not find its soil in this new location congenial. Nor does it the climate. It really belongs somewhere else. It doesn't. The gardener knows that if he plants this tender plant, he's going to have to watch for disease. He knows it's going to have to take special attention. It's going to have to be protected from the weather and added nutrients to the soil. It will have to be guarded from disease. You see, it's an exotic plant. It comes from far, far away. Well, I'm going to tell you about another plant. And I want to tell you what. You see, the Lord Jesus, he was that tender plant. He didn't fit down here. He couldn't find any roots in religion. He couldn't find any in the traditions and all these doctrines and things of man and all that they'd made up. He was that tender plant. And I want to tell you what. This world's social, spiritual climate was foreign to him. We see his nature, a tender plant. We see his nurture, a root out of dry ground. Who would believe such a thing? Who would believe a tender plant that the Lord Jesus, because here's the miracle. The miracle that tender plant could grow right here, could be born without sin, and born without the aid of an earthly father. And you think about that, what a miracle that was. Who would believe that? That a man could be born without an earthly father. Well, Isaiah prophesied this even earlier. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. God with us. And so he gives us this wonderful prophecy. I told you last night, we know that man got here four different ways. First of all, without the aid of a mother or father. And then the second one was from a man, and God created woman out of the man. And then we find Adam and Eve they give birth to two sons, and there came from mother and father, but Jesus had no earthly father. And anybody, as I said last, anybody would minimize the virgin birth as a heretic. I'm telling you right now, I don't believe any saved person would minimize the fact that Jesus, you say, well, they preached the resurrection and they preached the other things, the deity Christ. Friend, if you leave out that, you have no other thing to talk about. Thank God for the virgin birth. And Isaiah said, who's going to believe such a thing? And you know what? We believe it with all of our heart. Thank God I believe that with all of my heart. And then we see the second chapter, chapter 2, his virtuous life. And we find here in verse number 3, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Now, if it is said a man of war or a man of strength and a man coming to conquer and pomp and splendor, that'd be one thing. But a man of pains? You know, humiliation, the cross was, it's a picture of a curse. Cursed is a man that hangeth on the tree. And here we find that he's acquainted with grief and hid his face. The Bible says it were his face from him, and that he was despised and rejected of men. The infinite become an infant. And here we find the root out of dry ground speaks of his humility. The great God of glory humbled himself. He had no form nor comeliness, no beauty about him. When we see him, there's no form of comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. He's called Man of Sorrows. What a name. What a name. The Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He came down the stairway of heaven. He was born in Bethlehem. He was brought up in Nazareth. He was baptized there. The Bible tells us there in Jordan. Tempted in the wilderness. Performed miracles by the roadside. Made it no charges for his service. Healed so many. There in everything, as you read and study, he went up on Calvary, there he died. Then he went down to the grave and cleaned out the grave and made the pleasant place to wait for the resurrection. Then on scheduled time, he got up out of the grave with every form of power of his omnipotence. And thank God, listen, man's been trying to wrestle his power from him ever since. What are you going to use for power? All power is given unto him. If you try to destroy him by the wind, The wind will lick his hand and lay down his feet. You try to destroy him by an empire, he'll break it. If you try to destroy him by the fire, he won't burn. Thank God you can't destroy him. Oh, listen, some sinners just try to ignore him, but they'll hear a still small voice, and behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, thank God. I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ, men came from the east. I'm going to tell you, when he was born, then they came from the west, but he at the east and the west, all meet in him. He's our Lord. He's without sin in Hebrews 4:15. He knew no sin in 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible said, who did no sin in 1 Peter 2:22. And in him is no sin. Thank God for the sinless Son of God. The virgin birth. A man, think about this, that a man could be born. A virgin could actually have a baby in her womb and never know a man. And then the virtuous life. Absolutely perfect. You think about that. His virtuous life. And then here's the third chapter. Chapter 3, his vicarious death. And verses 4 through 7. This is so wonderful. And we just read, and I'll just comment on a few of those verses. But he bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. These wonderful truths we see there. Thinking about the word vicarious means substitute. And when you think about substitute and the word wounded there, it means pierced. He was pierced by the nail prints and through the briars on his head, thorns on his head. Now, there are five things he took as my substitute. First of all, he took my sin. And that's what verses 5 and 6, Jesus drank the cup. He drank this cup. And you think about the vicarious death and the filth and the stench. And you think about all the perversions and wickedness and cruelty and hatred and vileness. He drank every bit of that. When you think about from all the way back to Adam to the end of time, I can't imagine that.
How can that all be distilled? And the Lord Jesus take all that. He took all that. He took my sin. He took your sin. Think about who he who knew no sin was made sin. My sins, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Were nailed to the cross, and I bear him no more. And thank God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. I'm glad, thank God, I don't bear those sins no more. He bore them for me. He took my sin, but he took my shame. As my substitute, the Bible said, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. When the Lord Jesus was being accused, Pilate said, don't you know what things they accuse you of? He said, don't you hear? And Jesus, the Bible said, answered nothing. So that Pilate, do you know why I answered nothing? Now, if I'd have been there, I'd have said, Jesus, tell him. You're the Son of God. You're the Savior of the world. You're the sovereign King. I mean, tell him. But he didn't say a word. Here, innocent. And yet, if you'd have been standing, I'd have been standing, tell him. He didn't say a word. As a lamb before his shearers is dumb. That's why he opened not his mouth. Oh, he took my sin. But to take my sin, he had to take my shame. So Jesus died in the eyes of those people as a criminal. That's what they looked at, despised, rejected. How can a dead man save anybody? A dead Jew on a tree, cursed. He's cursed. He don't have any children. Nobody can declare his generation. Hey, this is all over. That's just what they think. I want to tell you right now. And I'll tell you what, when I think about Jesus dying for, like a criminal, despised, rejected, and bearing my shame, I don't ever want to be ashamed of him. Brother Roloff said, God told him, he said, I was walking down, said it hadn't rained, the worst drought they'd had in Texas in years. And he said, God just spoke to his heart and said, get your umbrella. And he thought, well, I'm going to look like a fool walking around town carrying an umbrella and it'll rain. He said, just go in the bank there and shout and tell them it's going to rain. Old Brother Roloff walks in the bank. He said, glory to God, it's going to rain. He said, everybody hit the floor. They thought it was a stick up. He said, before that evening, it began to rain. I'm going to tell you right now, if God tells you to do something, just do it. As my substitute, he not only took my sin and shame, but he took my sorrow. Look at verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now that word cut off there, it means that life was ended in the dew of his youth. 33 years old, life was ended in the dew of his youth. 33 years old. He didn't die a natural death. You know what he said? My father doth love me because I laid my life down that I might take it again. No man. Oh, don't you think anybody took? When they threatened Jesus, you think he was shaking? Oh, no. When those disciples were standing there fearful, I'm going to tell you what. He said, no man takes my life. I got power to lay it down. I got power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And oh, listen, he took my shame, my sin. He took my sorrow. He took my separation. While the crowds there were crying and mocking and laughing at the Lord Jesus, Jesus died alone. It's what touched my heart as I studied this. God the Father turned his back on God the Son. And there's the Lord Jesus in his loneliness. Can you hear him from the cross crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me alone? Oh, when I think about that, Christ on the cross, God looked upon Jesus Christ as sin, and God hates sin. Now you think about that just a minute. God hates sin, and Jesus took the wrath of God into his own heart. And the Bible says in verse 10, look at it, it had pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, who crucified the Lord Jesus? God the Father crucified the Lord Jesus. You know who the executioner was? It's God. You know why? God loved you so much. Oh, my soul. When God think about God loving me so much that he would crucify and execute his son and not hear. He said, my God, why? Oh, the loneliness. The mocking and all the Lord Jesus had to go through. And I won't tell you why. Here, the Almighty. endured that cross. And God the Father, the Lord Jesus, was put to death there. He never sinned. He was without sin. Yet I want to tell you what he did. And the Bible said there, the iniquity of us all was laid upon him. But I want to tell you, when you think about that, he took my sin, he took my shame, he took my sorrow, he took my separation. And I said earlier when we were singing that song, and you think about it, the Lord Jesus was cut off from God the Father. When David died, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Jesus couldn't pray that. He couldn't pray that. When we sung that song, it hit me back there. When he come down to the valley of the shadow, the Lord Jesus couldn't say, he couldn't say, I'm not alone. He was alone. He died alone, friend. Oh, I can't, in my heart, in my mind, I can't fathom that. Yet God says, when you come to the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil. Because my rod and my staff, they're going to comfort you. But the Lord Jesus died alone. The Father, he didn't die. And we, if there's a shadow there, there's a light. John Phillips said, I went to the home where my sister lived, and his mother, they told him, your mother's passed away. Said, I saw her Bible laying there, and I saw her devotion there. She had Psalms 23 written out. And he said, by verse 1, it said, happy life, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he come down to verse 4, and it said, happy death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And then he looked over at verse 6 and said, happy eternity. He said, I'd rather think that mother had a better outline on that than I did. Happy life, happy death, happy eternity, because I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Oh, listen. Now, here's the fourth thing, maybe the fifth thing I want you to. As my substitute, he took my suffering. Look at verse 9. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. You see that word death? It's one of those words that ends with a mem. See, that's what Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God, Elohim. You got, in the Hebrew, you got singular, plural, and uniplural. Uniplural is what that is. It means three. See, we have plural means two or more, but not with Hebrew. It means three. And you realize God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're all through Genesis there. But here we find that he died at Calvary. Death is mentioned in the plural. He died my three deaths. And this is just thrilled my soul. Oh, how God blessed me, studied this. First of all, the three types of death, and on the cross of Calvary, he paid for all of them. First of all, my spiritual death. The Bible said I was... That you hath he quickened who were dead. I was dead in trespasses and sins. But the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that God might make me righteous. For God to make me right and righteous, God had to make him sin. And friend, when you think about that, no wonder 2 Corinthians 8:9 said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. How poor did he come? That I might be made rich. Oh, I came in this world spiritually dead. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalms 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me? That word shapen, it's a Hebrew word, means streamline. I was streamlined to go to hell, and so were you. Because you were born in Adam, and all in Adam die. But thank God, I'm glad I got out of Adam into Christ. And I'm glad, thank God, there's no more condemnation, because he's taken care of all of that. But I want to tell you right now, when you think about that, I'm a streamline. I remember as a boy, I lived in Chattanooga. I lived near the railroad yard. And I'd watch those trains. I used to count those trains coming in there. But I saw something one day, I just marveled. I saw a train come in. I saw a big old crane reach down and pick that thing up and turn that around. It came in this way, but it went out that way. I didn't know then, but God one day reminded me. I was walking along, and I thought about that. He said, you was going this way, but I picked you up, and I turned you around, and now you're going a different way. And thank God I am. You are too if you're saved. Shaping. Oh, thank God. You know what he did? He gave darkness. Darkness, when I think about this, I came out of darkness in the light. And oh, thank God, I love darkness at one time because I was a child of darkness. You were sometimes darkness. You were, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, Ephesians 5:8. And then not only that, death into life. Oh, listen, friend, John 5:24 got a hold of me one day like I'd never seen it before. And it said, pass from death to life. Now, I may pass back from life to death, but not spiritual, eternal death. I may physically die. All can die of a Christian's a body. That's all. That's the reason why we pray a lot for sick folks. We won't keep this body here as long as we can. But I want to tell you right now, when you think about that, and then depravity into love. Need not only die from my spiritual death, but my physical death. Death has a great fear to all people. But he's going to remove that. Now, I may feel the stroke of death, but I'll never feel the sting of death. Sting of death's gone for the child of God. Because, thank God, he pulled the stinger out of death, and he said, now, I'm not going to say you won't feel the stroke of death. Some of us, I believe, are going to be alive when the rapture takes place. Now, I'm not a date setter. By the way, I'm not even on the date setting committee, but I'm on the welcoming committee. I'm saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Death, where is thy sting? We're going to say one day. And thank God we can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no wind. Then here's the third death. Not only spiritual death and physical death, but eternal death. Hebrews 2:9, he tasted death. My spiritual death, all three, all my deaths. Spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. When I think about these things, and you know, that's what satisfied. That's what made me righteous. It wasn't the law. It wasn't baptism. It wasn't good works. It wasn't anything I did. But thank God it's what he did. And I will never have to worry about eternal death. You know what I love? The word surety over in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22. It means guarantee. Now if God gives you a guarantee. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give to them eternal life. He put two marks on you that the world can't get off. It's an ear mark and a foot mark. He's marked my ear. They hear, they follow. He's marked my foot. And I won't tell you what, the surety, a guarantee. And I'm complete in him. No judge can condemn me because Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation. No jury can convict me because Romans 8:33 said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. No jail can confine me because, let me give you a little quiz here. What's greater than God, meaner than the devil? The poor have it. The rich don't need it. If you don't need it, you'll die. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's meaner than the devil. Nothing's greater than God. Nothing. Rich, what does the rich need? Nothing. What does the poor have? Nothing. If you don't eat it, nothing. You're going to die. What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. Somebody said one time, what belief are you? And he said, well, what are you? And he said, well, I'm a Methodist. He said, well, I'm a Paul's persuasion. I'm too. He said, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Three times it mentions the love of God in there. And those three things will help you if you'll study them out. Oh, the love of God. Nothing can cause me to be separated from the love of God. His virgin birth, his victorious life, his vicarious death. Can I give you these other two quickly? First of all, then number four, his victorious resurrection. And I'm glad, thank God, he lives. You know, verse number 9, look at it. It said, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death,
because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. You know, he was buried in a rich man's tomb. His prophecy was fulfilled. And then, but he never married. They said, so he can't have any children. And it's all going to cease. But look at the children he has across the world. How can he prolong his days? He's dead. Oh, no, he's not dead. The Lord, listen, the Bible said the Lord shall prosper. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And I tell you what it means. He came back from the grave. And thank God, I'm going to tell you what now. Confucius lived. He was buried. And he died and he's buried. Buddha lived and he died and he's buried. And you could go through all these others. Muhammad, and he came, he lived, he died, he was buried. But Jesus died and he's still alive. Guy said, could I ask you a question? How come you become a Christian? You were a Buddhist, a loyal Buddhist. And he didn't know quite how to ask that. He was just a young believer. And he said, well, if we come out here at the fork of the road and you don't know which way to go, and said, there's a live man there and a dead man there. He said, who would you ask? Hey, I'm glad he lives. If you go by the tomb of Lenin at Red Square, you have soldiers guarding the body of Lenin. The preacher asked him, said, what are you doing? Why are you here? And he said, well, I'm guarding the tomb of our leader. I'm guarding our leader. He said, nobody's guarding my leader. He said, well, why not? He said, he's not there. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. He's not there. He died. He was buried, but he rose again. And that's why we have a message to preach. Amen. Victorious resurrection. And then the visible return. And thank God, I'm glad he's coming back again. He that is of God the Father shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I want you to watch this. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And I want you to see that not only am I one of the many there, and I hope you're one of those many, but I want you to see here the Lord Jesus forgave my sin, justified, just as if I never sinned. And thank God he's justified you and I. Watch this. For he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Do you know what that means? It speaks of the time when the Lord Jesus will come. And I'm going to tell you, the one who come at Bethlehem's coming again. The one who come to this earth is coming back in the air. And not only that, thank God to take us home, he's coming back upon this earth. He's going to rule. I done read, he looked down, he came down, he lay down. Listen, he got up and sat down, and he's coming back to put down. And I'm telling you, all power and authority. And when I think about that, Paul said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. You know, I think about why anybody that's unsaved wouldn't want to get saved. I love that song, One Day. You ever, those seven things, I preached it on Easter. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And one day, he's coming. Woo, I'd just love to hear that shout today, wouldn't you? One of these days, thank God I'm going to leave here like Superman. I'm coming back like the Long Ranger. Thank God I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad he loved me. Glad he took care of my deaths. Don't have to worry about physical death. Now I know there's things that probably bother all of us. I tell you, as you get older, it's good to see Brother Rochester. And I know he'd had some physical problems. And my wife's had some. She said, honey, how come everybody we know is sick? I said, because we're getting old. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're getting closer home. And the only way God can get rapture or death, the only way God's going to get you home. Who was it that, I can't remember who it was that said, well, thank God I'm glad I'm dying. Leonard dying. Thank God I'm gone. He said, you know what? If I didn't die, I wouldn't know what paradise is like. He said, I'm going to have it on you boys. And I'm going to tell you, it's just absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, we all have our issues and problems, don't we? But aren't you glad God loves us? Father, we thank you today for your blessings. Lord, who would believe such a thing? Who would believe that a baby could be born without an earthly father? A virgin birth. Who'd believe that a person could live a perfectly sinless life? Perfect. I mean perfect. Without sin. Thank you for that virtuous life. Who would believe that he would die a vicarious death, not for his sin, but for my sin? And who would believe that that one who died for that sin on the third day would get up again? And that's a message of the church. That's the gospel. And who would believe? Many don't believe it today, not living like it. This same Jesus is coming back again. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.